Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So you'll commence our class now. Today is the 3rd April 2022. We shall be continuing from this book, the 36th lesson of the Six Patriarchs, Platform Sutta, Yuzhu Tanjin. So we are at page 37, 3.2.4. So this topic is very important. Meditation is not about sitting only. So as a cultivator, we need to understand this, because this is a very, very strong misconception. Most people thought to meditate is to sit. You are not sitting, you are not meditating. There is a fallacy in this statement, because according to Lord Buddha, meditation can be done in any posture, especially the four basic posture, whether it's standing, sitting, walking, or lying down, or in the midst of life, when you are attending to life, means the daily mindfulness. Means you have to maintain mindfulness of all action in the present moment. You can maintain mindfulness throughout the day, it will lead to continuity, stability, and it becomes ever mindful. And from there, you can use it to develop the meditation leading to heedfulness. So that important understanding can actually help the cultivator a lot. So remember this. But I need to dwell a little bit into tradition. Traditionally, since the Buddha's time, during the olden days, you don't have like what our modern civilization has. Proper chair to sit and all this thing. In the olden days, most of the thing were done by sitting on the floor. Then when you go out to work, you walk around. Then when you're tired, only you lie down. Then when you want to meditate, maybe people sit. So it has been a tradition that sitting is associated with meditation. So maybe that could be the reason why that misconception has come about. But like I always said, meditation, especially Buddhist meditation, is to be developed or cultivated through an understanding. Without understanding, you go and do, you will not experience much benefit. Maybe you can develop some form of calmness, peacefulness, more quiet mind. And after having those results, you think you are meditating. So all this, cultivator need to find out for themselves, what is it that you are looking for in the name of meditation. Then you have to understand what is meditation as per the teaching taught by Sakyamuni Buddha. If you don't understand all this, how can you start? You can't start. So like I always said, if you look at the teaching, the Buddha emphasized a lot on that section on Appamada, which is a Pali word. The English equivalent word is heedfulness. Appamadena Sampadeta. That is the final advice of the Buddha before his parinibbana to all the disciples and the monks. He says, strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless. And under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, it more or less sum up for us the deep meaning of meditation. According to the Buddha, he said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So this Dhammapada verse 21 is very clear. Without heedfulness, you are as if dead. The moment you are heedful, you can realize the enlightenment or the deathless. That's why heedfulness is the path to the deathless. So heedfulness is very important. So with this understanding, we need to understand what is heedfulness. Heedfulness has two components, as per Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative and ever mindful, these are the two components. If you hold on to these two training steadfastly, you will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana, which is the enlightenment in the here and the now. So how can we develop the mind so that it can be ever mindful? We have to train that thinking mind, the mundane mind, the heedless thinking mind, the mind that thinks a lot, the mind that lashes on to every sense experience that arises. And the mind that doesn't have the understanding and the spiritual faculty create mental hindrance to hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. And because of that, most people cannot meditate. Their mind is lost in thought, constantly lost in thought, very heedless. They think along. They are hardly peaceful. So the first thing is to get the mind to slow down and slowly become quiet so that it is peaceful, so that it is aware without thought. So the training of the mind to be aware is very important. That one, the understanding. The understanding is, without thought, then only you can be aware. Because your mind can only do one thing at a time, as a human being, or living being. You are either completely silent without thought and aware, or the other possibility is, you think a lot, you are lost in thought, preoccupied with what your thought is involved in. You go and check. You can only be in these two states. But most people cannot be in the first state of awareness without thought, because they think a lot. They realize they cannot stop thought. To them, thought is the basis of life. Without thought, they're scared, they are dead. They don't know what to do. So this lack of understanding is the cause of their inability to develop this meditation. If I know that without thought I am already aware, then what must I do? Which means I only need to relax and maintain awareness. Don't do anything so that the thought slow down. The thought loses its ability to continue, means you don't give it any more mental energy to think. You don't create condition for mental proliferation of thought. Means you don't get angry, you don't get emotional, you don't stir your mind to delusion. So to meditate is to relax and maintain awareness and let the mind settle down until there is no thought. Then the awareness nature surfaces. That is the beginning of awareness. If you know that, then your meditation will progress. It's only after you have realized the awareness within, then you can continue the third support, which is allow this awareness to stabilize for as long as it can. Means technically 24-hour awareness, or at least during your waking moments, you must maintain awareness. That's how you can become ever mindful, which is the first aspect of heedfulness. Then when you have that mind that is ever mindful, use it to meditate. Use it to observe. Use it to insight into the phenomena. Use it to contemplate, reflect. So all this is meditation. And basically, in the midst of life, when you develop this heedfulness, you use it to cultivate noble eightfold path. Then you will come to realize life itself is the meditation. Because whatever you do in life, there is the reality within. So to meditate is to realize the truth, the reality within life and existence. When you can understand why things arise and how things arise, means you have wisdom. You will then come to know that the world we live in is a conditioned world, existential world that is dependent, originating, conditioned, arising, causal phenomena. Without causes and conditions, nothing arises. When causes and conditions arise, things arise, phenomena arise. So all this manifestation within our thinking mind, our mundane mind, they are the mental creation from our nature, the true mind, the true nature. When you stir and create the movement, they arise. And through your views, opinion, and conditioning that you accumulate in your brain, you create the content of consciousness. You create your views, your opinion, your mental intention. Then whatever you experience in life, your phobia, your insecurity, your scars of memory, you accumulate them. Then your happy moments and unhappy moments. All this, you accumulate them into the brain. And the brain is the one that trigger off thought process to what? To response to this memory. That this memory created the condition for you to continue to think. You are dependent on something, something arises. So dependent on memory, thought arises. So when thought arises, you cannot understand what thought is. You cannot understand who you are, what you are, as a living being or as a human. We have two aspects. One aspect is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the dependent originating mind within the existential world. The other one is the true mind, the silent mind, that nature within. When thoughts cease to be, that nature surface. So meditation is to realize this, to see this clearly, then to understand the movement of the mundane mind, how it comes to be. Then you will realize they follow the nature's law that governs life and existence, like what the Buddha explained under the Panchaniyamas. Under the Panchaniyama, there are five universal order. The first two are scientific law. The Buddha called it Uttuniyama. And the second one is Vijjaniyama. Uttuniyama is the order of the physical law. All physical things follow that law. Then the second one is the biological order of nature. Everything that is organic with life form, they follow this biological order, like our genetic theory. the plants, the fruits, the human body, the insects, the fishes, or anything that is organic, the biological activity within. And the scientists has progressed so fast is because they understand this two law. They manage to penetrate this two law, even your IT, internet, information technology, artificial intelligence. They all come through technological breakthrough. And what are these technological breakthrough? They are basically scientific knowledges born of the physical order of nature and biological order of nature. And the instrument to understand all this is thought. That's why we have this thinking process, thought process. Your thought is energy. Energy is knowledge. Knowledge creates science, technology. Understanding of physical thing, nature's thing. But thought cannot develop wisdom. Thought can make you cunning, clever, intellectual. But it cannot make you wise. Wisdom needs understanding. That's why we must go beyond thought, like the Buddha said. We meditate to realize the unconditioned. The Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond time, akaliko. So all this understanding will allow you to develop the correct understanding to meditate. But the next three universal order are more important. The Buddha said there is this third universal order that governs life and existence. The law of karma, karma niyama. This karma niyama is most powerful according to Lord Buddha. He came to this realization that all living beings, not only human beings, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, condition is supported by our karma. We are what we are because of this karma. That's why I say in our life, every day you must contemplate this. This is the fifth of the five daily contemplation to develop the understanding, the wisdom. And this law of karma is very powerful because that is the basis of life. When you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. Because according to the Buddha, you reap what you sow. Because we are born of karma, heir to our karma, condition and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of karma. So karma plays such a great role in our life. It is almost 100% of our mundane life. So if karma is so powerful, if we do not take care of karma, then when we come, our life will be in jeopardy. Why? Because we are born of it. We inherited everything that karma created for us. And every moment, every instant, we are conditioned and supported by it. And we are what we are because of this coming nature. That's how the advice of the Buddha comes about. You have to follow the advice of the Buddha. And what is it? It's to avoid all evil, to take care of karma. Then cultivate wholesomeness to promote the wholesome effect of good karma. That's why when you take care of karma, you take care of your life because we reap what we sow. If we can avoid all evil, there will be no evil karma coming back to harm us, to cause suffering or misery within one's life. Then you cultivate a lot of merit, wholesomeness, and all the what they call meritorious thing. Then you reap what you sow. All this virtue, merits, wholesomeness, blessing, they will come back to you. When you give through generosity, the more you give, you give back to your own nature, then you reap what you sow, and you will receive back all these wealth, benefits, gifts. It's like you are, in fact, a lot of people don't understand, wow, how come you are so blessed? How come you are so lucky? Everything go your way. People like you. It's not by like accident. It's not because of love. It's not because of they have blessing. No, it's because they cultivated this. This is their coming inheritance. This is their parami that they develop to understanding from the past. That's why when they come, they become different. Then when I look back, this particular segmented life that my nature come, I have the understanding that I realize almost everything just come my way. And they are so beautiful, so conducive for life, for understanding. Then the spiritual understanding also follow another law. There is another nature called the spiritual nature. When you cultivate, you develop another nature. This one is karmic nature. So that is the third law. And when you follow the advice of the Buddha, is to take care of karma. Because to take care of karma is to prevent wrongdoing. So by avoiding all evil, you prevent your karmic downfall. You prevent all the mistake in life. And that's why precept is very important. Precept is the source of spiritual happiness. Because negative karma no more. You keep your precept, you don't violate the negative karma. You can avoid all evil. That's why you are saved. And most of the time you are happy, source of spiritual happiness. So when you go for Buddhist activity in the temple, usually the Sunday class or whatever, they will normally chant. Initially they will have the puja. They will chant the salutation to the Buddha. Or they pay respect. They will chant Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. It's homage to the blessed one, the worthy one, and the holy enlightener. And that respect itself is a meritorious action. Then after that, you take refuge, Buddhang Saranam Gacchami, because the refuge in the Triple Gem are very important. That's how you develop it. And through this, you develop the faith too. Your mind becomes very strong, full of faith, stable. Because you know, apart from the Triple Gem, you cannot find this teaching. You cannot find truth. You cannot become enlightened. You can only develop enlightenment through understanding this truth. So this is how the Buddhist teaching actually becomes very beautiful. Then after that, normally they will teach you how to renew your precepts. Your precept is very important. That's why after that we chant Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapada Samadhiyami. The meaning is we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. Then followed by the other precepts. So all this is to avoid major evil. If you don't do that, you get into trouble. Then normally the monk, after they administer the precept, they will chant to you the benefits and explain to you why you must keep your precept. That's why they say sila is very important. He said sila, silena sukanti nyanti. The meaning is sila is a source of spiritual happiness. Silena bhoga sampadan. Precept is a source of spiritual wealth. When you have precept, you develop merits. You will have condition to receive spiritual wealth. Your mind will be conducive for meditation. Then from sila, you will have less problem. Your mind is more orderly to receive the good condition to meditate. That's how samadhi can kick in. With sila and samadhi, you can develop the direct seeing with wisdom. Then the last one is silena nibbuddhin yanti. With sila is the source of spiritual peacefulness of mind. This is how you have the condition to meditate. Without sila, you will have fear, worry, anxiety. You will have all this karmic negativity to haunt you and make you miserable. And you don't have this peacefulness of mind to develop the meditation. Then life becomes problematic. That's the reason why the cultivation starts with sila, to avoid all evil, to take care of karma, to develop wholesomeness. Then from there, you learn how to meditate. So after you know the law of karma and how the teaching come about, how all these are being taught to us, then we start to understand clearly why we do the chanting, why we renew our precept, why we go for refuge, and why we train our mind to be mindful, to be heedful, leading to heedfulness. So that we can develop the third advice of the Buddha to purify our mind so that we can develop the wisdom to become enlightened, to transform our life, so that we will have the understanding of life, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise, we become different. Then when we do that, our life change for the better. So all these are part and parcel of the Buddhist teaching that will lead to understanding. Then after that, the first spiritual law, the law of karma, we finish. Then the Buddha taught the next one, citta niyama, the law of mind. He said, you have to understand this law, which he called citta niyama. Or sometimes he teach it under paticca samuppada, the law of dependent origination. Means the dwelling, paticca samuppada means dependent on something, something arises. So, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnanam paccaya namarupam, all this dwelling. If you have been a Buddhist cultivator, you will know all this. But you have to see it in the meditation. This explains to us how we function as a human being, how our thinking arises, how our mundane mind arises, and how it gets itself entangled through this dwelling. Then finally, it ends up with birth, leading to old age, sickness and death, the whole mess of suffering. So without this paticca samuppada, you cannot understand who you are, what you are, how you function as a human being. If you don't understand it, then how can you live life? How can you understand life? There is no way. That's why this one, you need to meditate. You need to be mindful, aware, to see. The knowledge of it is of not much use. Maybe initially, yes. Avijja paccaya sankhara. What is the meaning of the first link? The Buddha say, dependent on ignorance, which is avijja, it conditions sankhara activity, mental activity. You must be mindful and aware to see this within your meditation, within life itself, within existence. Then only you understand. Otherwise, it's just knowledge. Yala, avijja paccaya sankhara ma, because I ignorant, I think ma. That one not much use. Why do you think? Who think? You don't even know who think. How are you going to ask the next question? Why do you think? Without ignorance, you don't think. But what is ignorance? Ignorance of what? Ignorance of the truth, the Pancha Niyamas. especially the three spiritual law, you like those right view. Because you act according to memory. You don't act according to Dhamma way understanding. So all these are connected and linked. That's why the first training in meditation is to be heedful. To be mindful. And stabilize it to be ever mindful, then leading to heedfulness. So that is how you develop the meditation. Then after the mind aspect has been done through the meditative training of awareness-based meditation, then the Buddha taught the balance of the teaching. All the other truth that is not included in the first two. He said they are taught under his essential Dhamma. He called it Dhamma Niyama. Is the universal order of Dhamma, of truth. The Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha. What does he teach? He teaches the truth, nothing else. And not ordinary truth, he teaches noble truth, truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why the essence is the form of the truth and its three turning. Now all the other essential Dhamma spin off from this form of the truth. So this is a summary of his teaching, the gist of it. And from there, the full picture will be clear. That's why Sui managed to create a mind chart. So it's in the website, you can go and see. That one quite well done. We actually created all the link so that you can see them. They were prepared with the understanding and they expanded all the way down to cover all the other essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us. And through that, you will have the initial understanding. And the initial understanding is very useful. When you meditate, it will stand up. Then you will start to have the ability to put it to test through inquiry, through investigation. Then when they stand up to investigation, you develop joy, you develop understanding, faith, then your mind becomes unshakable. That's how your spiritual faculty becomes very stable, very, very stable. Okay, with this, we will continue with our sharing. Now we can go into this topic. Meditation is not about sitting on it. Okay. Meditation is not about sitting on it. Prolonged sitting until the mind becomes very calm, very peaceful, very still, and no more false thinking. Thinking that is the ultimate result. In fact, you can sit for long and your mind can become like that. You are not so bad. Compared to a lot of people who don't know what they are doing in the name of meditation, they just sit and they suffer a lot because the pain starts to develop, the numbness starts to develop, and the mind becomes very dull, sleepy, with all the mental hindrance. So what do? They force themselves to do it. They struggle. To me, it's of not much use because you are here to meditate, to develop the understanding, to relax, to be peaceful, to be aware, not to torture yourself, not to harm yourself and make yourself miserable, and not to dull your mind. We are here to develop awareness, to be aware, to be alert, to be attentive, to be peaceful, to have clarity. Then to experience the stillness of mind without thought, not a conditioned state. But if you do one-pointedness or absorption samadhi, it can also lead to a very calm mind, very peaceful mind. And the mind like no thought, there is no more false thinking. Then you think that is what you are looking for. Then you become very happy. You think that is the ultimate goal. Then I put here, I say, if that is the case, you better check. But that is a conditioned mind, a conditioned state. Meditation is not about developing all the peacefulness and calmness and the fantastic meditative state or the fantastic mind. It's about insight into phenomena, developing the wisdom, the understanding, realizing the universal characteristics of nature. The anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta, the impermanent, the suffering state, and the non-self or empty nature. This understanding is most important and is very different. So this is what you need to have as understanding, because if it's a conditioned state, then it has not much use. Because this one is not a free mind. When you are in a conditioned state, you may be in a state of jhana, deep concentration, samatha or what, your mind actually is very, very concentrated because of energy, thought-based energy field, one-pointedness, absorption energy, it builds up. Then when it builds up, what happens is, it's too calm, we call it apana samadhi. Then your mental hindrance, they are still there, but they are all suppressed, cannot arise. So in the midst of life, you think you are enlightened, you think you got no more mental hindrance. You have that calm, clear mind without thought. But there is a conditioned state and you doesn't know. But as you age, as your energy dissipates and you don't have the ability to keep up with that jhana concentration or energy, then you come to realize your mind become very weak. Then because the energy is no more, the conditioned state is no more, then your mental hindrance arise. Then you realize doubt start to arise. The like and dislike start to arise. Sleepiness start to arise. Restlessness of mind start to arise. So all this will come back and haunt the cultivator. Then they start to doubt what happened in the past when I'm in jhana. None of this can happen. How come now like that? But they dare not let people know. So that's how it differs. If you enter conditioned state, all the mental hindrances are not rooted out, but they are being suppressed. But the awareness base is different. There is a free mind in awareness. The mental hindrances are free to arise, but they are not being suppressed. So when the mental hindrance arises, how it hinders you from entering the meditative state, you understand. That's how you straighten your view. You can root it out. So all this is the basic difference between awareness-based meditation and thought-based meditation, or what we call samatha, energy field meditation. When I read on, hopefully this will develop better understanding. If meditation does not bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path to realize the three types of right view which I have described, Kama Niyama, Citta Niyama, and Dhamma Niyama, the wisdom that is related to the Buddha's teaching, then it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Hence, it's not about retreat condition alone. It's not about sitting, developing calmness, peacefulness, and running away from society, etc. That's the reason why when I met my teacher, Ajahn Yantra, and when he told me life itself is a real meditation, life itself is our greatest teacher, immediately those words resonate deep in my nature, where it was like I had heard them before, and I knew this was it for a while, even though as a lay person in my early days of cultivation, I had never heard from people about this before. Then when I relate them to the teaching, I realized they match perfectly. That's why after that, I decided to reverse my cultivation. I come out of Anapanasati, means the Apana absorption samadhi, and release the absorption calmness, born of continuous mindfulness. We are relaxing into it. While in the university days of the 70s, I was already very good in Anapanasati. I could do the Anapanasati until my nature could carry the calmness and absorption mind state with me while in the midst of life. And the mind is so still and full of metta. But later on, when I came out to work, when I started to touch money, intermingle with society and went into life, then I didn't meditate so often. I realized this calmness or this calm mind starts to have movement and is stirred again. The calmness loses its power and the mind started to stir. Then I realized the thoughts started to develop all the craving like before. We wanted to be successful financially, career-wise. You want to study not only engineering, he wants to do an MBA, the law degree. And he had a lot of ambition, like make more money to achieve financial freedom, all those things. Actually, I must qualify a bit. There's nothing wrong about having those thoughts. Please don't get me wrong. So those thoughts that arise allow me to see how my mind, which has been 3-4 years when I was in the university, so calm, so peaceful, so tranquil, so full of metta, can start to revert back to the old way of an ordinary, ordinary living being or human being that has ambition, desire to be successful, have craving to go for this, go for that, and all those things. So this is what my nature saw through awareness. Then, because of my past spiritual understanding and condition and my coming nature, in the year 1986, I met my first refuge teacher. Then after that, all my other teachers and guides, they just come, the book come, the teacher come, the guide come. And everything fall into place. Then my nature come back to help me, and I develop the understanding and connect back very fast within that period of 2 to 3 years. My nature re-inherited what I have developed in the past. So that's how all these are possible. Okay, I have to go back to that picture. Okay, so I can continue from there again. I realize there are still movement inside the mind. Then I recall an incident in the sutta where the Buddha said, a glass of water with sediment still down there. The moment you stir it, it will arise again. So that one was so vivid, because this is like the mental hindrance, the 5 mental hindrances, still suppressed, it's still down there. But there is no condition to stir your mind, to condition you into negativity. Then you think you are, maybe without the mental hindrance, but they are still there. But if you leave it and allow the sediment to settle down on its own, then the water appears clear again, like when you do concentration or samatha meditation. All the defilements and mental hindrance, the 5 mental hindrances, will be suppressed. I realize that must be the reason. All along, that mind was peaceful, calm, and full of metta into the anapanasati, absorption, the continuous mindfulness. I didn't go into the daily mindfulness at that time until my teacher Ajahn Yantra told me this. He said the highest meditation is we choose aware every action, every movement in the present moment. That is the one I manage to actually rejoice, appreciate, and I developed the breakthrough within 2 weeks. The daily mindfulness came to me. The moment I heard that, I knew I had not done this type of meditation as yet, is awareness based. Then I checked. I realized I was hardly even aware or mindful for 5 minutes in a day. So I determined to do this from that moment onward. I even put up my hand when he asked, "Who wants to promise the Buddha?" I remember at that time, two of us put out our hand. I did not know who the other guy was. Within 2 weeks, the mindfulness came. And the whole of meditation became very clear after that. After that, my nature, silent mind, and awareness became very different. I started to understand that the eternal nature was already there all the time for this world. Once connected, the spiritual inheritance and everything else came back to support this nature. That's how all the conditions fall into place and emerge. That all of a sudden after that, I started to see a lot of things via the direct seeing, the true direct seeing, and insight keep on arising. Then the teacher came, the guide came, the book came, and everything else came. Everything just fall into place. This nature become what it is on its own, and it understand that there is no being inside there. That's why I always told you all that this form of mind, which you call radical, is not me. It's just a vehicle and a tool, karmically conditional for this nature of mind to come to this existential world to use, to live life, to function, to perform the function of this segmented life or this nature, to fulfill its vows, its affinity with living being, etc. We are this functional body that performs the function of the material for this segment of its nature's life, and to continue with its cultivation and its perfection until all its vows are fulfilled. Okay, I think we can stop here for maybe 3 minutes of toilet break. Then after that, we can have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay, let me mark this page. What is the page? 39. Okay, we are at page 40. Okay, now it's 3:53. We come back maybe 3:57. Okay. Okay, you off the light, then you can have your 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So based on this explanation, I think it's very easy to understand now. We are here to train our mind to be aware. That's it. Let's stabilize it to be ever mindful and use it to meditate, to develop heedfulness. So relax, maintain awareness, let the thoughts settle down. Then try to realize the awareness nature within. Then just allow it to be, stabilize it for as long as you can, until your nature becomes very quiet, very still. Then you are just aware in our thought. You have to experience those moments. Then you go through that, you will start to understand that you have another nature within, which is the unconditioned, the silent mind, that doesn't have words, that doesn't have thought, doesn't have sankhara. That is unconditioned. It's just that nature aware. Finish. But from there, everything arises. Your aggregates of mind, your thought process, content of consciousness, thinking, emotion, everything arises on there. So see that, observe that, understand that. And that is the beginning of meditation. Because without awareness, you cannot develop wisdom. You cannot have the direct seeing, the awakening. Okay, you can now slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. And we will turn to the page 39. And we continue a bit more. Okay, 3.3. Gratitude's closing remark. So by now, I hope it's clear. This is what meditation is all about. Understand it clearly and don't be gullible anymore. That's the reason why I always said we must meditate with understanding, otherwise no point. You're wasting your time. You can still be led astray or thinking you have progressed. The progress is not about how strong your mind is, how beautiful your mind or meditation is. It's about understanding via wisdom to free the mind from delusion. When you have that, when you have become more and more mindful, heedful, and the free mind understand that is the real progress, then Avijja Paccaya Sankhara, the first link, or the dwelling, weakens. It means less avijja, less sankhara. So this implies you will have less mental thinking or activity, more clarity, more awareness, more moments of silence and stillness, and you become more heedful. That is progress. So this must be a free mind. Yeah? There is no need to have all those fantastic meditation where you can understand things clearly with every moment of sense or experience or contact. Your mind will become different. When you return to society and life, it will not stir or react like before. it does not get itself entangled anymore, because it has developed the five spiritual faculties and understanding to straighten its views. When you have the five spiritual faculties cultivated, the five mental hindrances will cease to be, and the mind will be in the meditative state on its own naturally, all the time, where there is no more mental hindrance. He has become a free mind, hence no need to focus, to concentrate, no need to train, no need to do anything. It will be like that by itself. But you need wisdom and spiritual faculty to stay in that state. When you understand that, the whole of meditation becomes different. No more according to what they say. All the methods and techniques, sitting and walking, you only need to do them if you haven't stabilized the spiritual faculties. That is the reason why you have to train the mind that is still heedless and work very hard. But if you continuously do that and think that is meditation, then you are being gullible, that there is just an initial training to anchor the heedless thinking mind. When you still lack the spiritual faculties, the stability of the spiritual faculties to make it heedful, that's why you need to train. That's why they need to train their heedfulness, to train their heedless mind via all this thought-based meditation of noting and focusing, etc. If you already have the spiritual faculties, the five mental hindrances will cease to be by themselves naturally. Then the moment you sit, you are already calm, still, silent, in a free mind state with no more movement. Then when you come out of it, you are also the same, aware and mindful. Walk also same, go around doing whatever in life. You are also in the state of mindfulness. When you lie down to sleep or rest, you are also aware within. This is real samadhi, not the calm mind that becomes heedless again so fast. Once it is out of retreat, all the suppressed mental hindrances can still come out because they are not rooted out. They are wisdom as yet. This is a very important understanding. We shall stop here at page 209. It's already 4:40 p.m. at that time. Do you have any question? Is there anything that you need me to clarify? Can you understand and can you follow? Good. There are some who can. Then pass the mic to Sister Chin over there. Okay, so this one we can stop here at this page, Q&A, page 42. Okay, we stop at the same place so that we can also have our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have regarding understanding the teaching or the meditation, or how to apply this teaching that you have learned to help you to understand life and develop all the solution towards your whatever encounter in life. Okay.
Fredio, I want to record with the meditation on Friday.
Very good, Sadhu.
因为星期五的是初一，然后我跟以前一样，就是每天早上就做我的routine sitting。不懂是为什么，因为初一，然后他就我 meditate 一下子之后，他就。 很 naturally 心就在我的
心中
啊，对，就是有心经，然后我就 ask guidance from 观世音菩萨，then after that 他就变了，他的 breathing 很像很 subtle， 就好像没有 breathing 这样
啊 ，very good，
then after that 好像一下子 is like kind of like 我也不懂得讲讲，他就是then 他就有一个 image 像啦，好像我把它讲成好像他 manifest 一个 durian 的 image， then after that 他就慢慢从那个就是 like you see something and then it suddenly like sustain and then it sees 这样子 you know、then 我是 as a like a outsider watching the whole
对 you know
phenomena and then 他的感觉就是好像你是一个外人在看戏一样，
对
一个好像一个 theater 里面的一个
对
我的感觉是好像很惊讶，这样就是好像 like 怎样讲啊 like 很 surprise 这样
的，因为第一次有这样的感觉，
就是不是他的感觉好像他又没有字又没有什么，但你好像明白那个像好像是这个 对那个像是讲讲啊 then after that当他慢慢的 like you know 过了一下子哦，他就好像觉得就是好像你一个 understanding， 就是好像梦幻泡影这样，
对
so after that 我出来的时候我就 reflect 回去 like 你好像觉得哇这凡所有像都是虚妄这样子，
对
然后我想 Bertil guide 我在
很好OK， so 这个是应该是来一个什么一个 condition that manifests， because 好像你讲了初一 is the new moon day，and because you have faith in Kuan Yin, then you all tend to chant this Heart Sutra and all those things. So when you meditate with that routine cultivation every morning, you do your whatever religious routine, then later on followed by your Buddhist vow. Then after that, when you do your meditation,this thing can happen, can manifest. It's just like how you describe it. Suddenly, when you started the sitting or meditation as usual, then all of a sudden, the Heart Sutra appear at your heart area. Then when the Heart Sutra appear, your faith become very strong. Then the mind transform.Like the breathing become very subtle, like no breath. No breath means it's just away. So the mind is in sati, there is away. Then during that time, it could be a manifestation of Dhamma, that the nature of Kuan Yin want you to understand. That's why it will happen.And because of your understanding, the wisdom and your meditative mind that is already very stable, that's why you have the ability to be just aware. The way you describe it is like you are from an outside nature. You are not involved with that thing. So that phenomena, that manifestation,like you say, it's an image of a durian or whatever it is, it's like continue to move. Then after a while, it disappears. That during those happening, it's like you are not part of the thing. It's not like a thought, observing or getting involved in what is being observed. Means there is only the seeing consciousness, that seeing, the awareness of that movement and all those things. There is no one to see. Means no ego mind, no entity, no the me and the I. It is completely not there at all. So this type of awareness nature that can manifest off and on, it will come. Sometimes it's just a glimpse, sometimes for a while. Then straight away, it will know that the awareness nature is not a being. It's not a person. It's just a nature. And this one can only observe, nothing else. But through the observation, it can awaken. It does not get involved. It does not get entangled. It does not do anything. So this understanding of that nature is very beautiful, very powerful. Then it will enhance your stability of cultivation to the stage that you can understand what the Dhamma meant very deeply. The stability of understanding is very important and is very powerful. Because after you have gone through this, this is what we call the direct seeing, the awakening, the nature awakened to it. Then you realize, like, you feel very amazing, very excited. That how come like that? How come suddenly the mind is just witnessing? Witnessing, like a witness, witnessing. Then the understanding that manifests through that understanding or insight, awakening, is so profound that you can link to the teaching, like what the fifth patriarch told the sixth patriarch about the mundane mind and the true nature. He said, this mundane mind, you must learn how to use it and yet not to be deluded by it. Then Huineng came to great awakening. And straight away he said, how amazing that nature is complete by itself. How amazing that everything arises from that nature and nothing is apart from that nature. So you will start to see that the phenomenal is the phenomenal of consciousness, of manifestation, of creation. They come and they go. That's why everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena within the phenomenal. But there is another nature that is completely within that whole thing. We call it the oneness nature. That's why the English word, I like that word, neumono. The neumono is the unmoving part, the oneness behind. Whereas the phenomenal world, the planet, the universe, the star system, everything, all those that are manifested, they move within. So that realization is very different. When it awakens to that, it has a very powerful impact within your understanding. That nature suddenly realizes everything is just the way it is. No reality, like you say, you use the Mandarin word, zhūmōng, one pāoying, something like that. Then another one is something like illusion or delusion, no reality. So this is how that true mind, that nature, when it watches, when it witnesses, when it's aware, it has this power to manifest that type of insight, that wisdom, that understanding, that realization. So this is very beautiful. Sadhu to you, Alicia. keep it up. So continue your religious routine, just develop the stability of all this, then fulfill your vow, then you will progress very well. Sadhu to you.
Sadhu, Brother Dio, 其实真的是因为我这几天一直在做 some reflection， 为什么会 of all the thing， 为什么是榴莲？因为我后来想到，因为我当下现在可能我最新有一点挂念，是因为那个榴莲那个把那个榴莲的 farm， you know，
对，
他就 manifest 这个达妈给我去、啊，
对，
因为真的是他就是凡所有像真的是都是假的，
假
象假
象
，you know， 全部都是假象，所以我想哦，原来是这样，所以哇。很 amazing， 然后并不是
无相吗？
对，因为其实是无相，因为可是我们以为我们已经放下，就是说我们已经没有观念。
等下，那个 is still a thought。
对，其实应该是在还是在那边，所以
还是在念头里面。
还是对，所以他就 manifest 给我
在那边转
到对。
还没有真正了解，悟道，
对，所以不然就
很感恩，对，
所以之前其实我有一个 experience， 是当我躺在那边听 Bradio 讲课的时候，因为他要我躺着，就我就听 Bradio 讲的什么就把真相当成不是真相。
对，
因为我们迷的人都是一般是这样嘛，
对，
把真相又不是当成真相，就 something like that， you know， you explain 哈。我的意外也是，我的心里面好像有一个 message 说颠倒，就说颠倒，然后我就出 after meditation， 我就出来就在 contemplate。可是我当下我其实是明白什么是颠倒，因为我们是就好像我们把很多东西，其实我们就很不愿意去接受那个事实，
对，
而把它就算颠倒。
You take the unreal as the real， then you take the impermanent as permanent， means you want it 拥有，You want to keep certain memory, certain good state. Cannot. Yeah, all this, you use the word qi kong, is empty. No reality, not what you think. The phenomenal world is a world of consciousness, form, images, phenomena. Not what you think. That's why it is yin yan fa, yan qi yan mie.And everything is in a state of flux. 自自在 the movement, the conditioning, the whatever movement is all governed by nature's laws. That's why within the conditioned world, we have the conditioned them, we have the duality. Everything is like exists.But when you have penetrated the truth, awakened, your mind is different. That's why you can have that type of wisdom connected to the form and mind and still live within the conditioned world. It's like the lotus flower, the lianhua. It can arise from the filthy pond, but it can stay above with its full bloom.That's what enlightenment is all about. That's why they like to use the analogy of a pure lotus flower that is fully above the field in bloom. And it also arises from the filthy pond, and it can transform itself to be the lotus. That's why it can stand above the field, the duality, the condition.Dhamma within the conditioned world means it has the understanding of life that it can live life, no problem, because everything is not what you think. as I you come to the realization, everything is like upside down, inverted, 颠倒Yes, people with delusion perceiving or persisting according to their views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. They see everything as very real, like they can own, they can possess, like they exist. And their identity, their attachment is so strong to themselves, to their loved one, to their possession, to their idea, ideology, everything. Sometimes to their own title, identity, as a human being, as a person. So all this, when you have the Dhamma, the understanding, the awakening, you can see them very clearly. And the delusion is no more gone. Then it's like the phenomenal world of consciousness has no more power over you. That's why all this collapse in front of you. Form has no more power over you. Consciousness has no more power over you. They arise and they pass away following nature's condition, nature's law that governs life and existence. So all this become very clear to the cultivator, to the one that has awakened insight into phenomena. So this is the beauty of Dhamma, the amazing nature of wisdom following the Dhamma way. As a cultivator of the way, who really have the understanding, they are very different. They really transform in a very strange way. You know, people cannot understand. But it's just the wisdom, the awakening, no more deluded, no more of all this delusion behind or ignorance behind, to grasp, to cling, and to become gullible over what arises. That's why everything like collapse in front of you, it has no more power affecting that form of mind anymore. So that one is the understanding and the wisdom that it has developed, which it can only understand on its own. That's why other people cannot understand. That's why the Dhamma is Paccetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves, and not any other people. Unless you meditate, you awaken, you cannot understand, because you have to awaken to be the wise one. That's why the Dhamma can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Paccetang, Veditabo, Vinuhiti. So that aspect of the Dhamma is very beautiful. So very good, Sadhu.
Sadhu, brother, do you actually, actually, 我真的是讲讲他就是有点很惊讶，就是 you know, wow, you are like an outsider watching the whole phenomenon happening.
The whole movement, that's why your nature that observe, is completely silent, because it's the unconditioned. It's just aware that if you want to know, it can know. But when the whole thing finish, the realization is very, very profound. That's why I always say that the turning through the meditative experience very penetrating, because its understanding become very penetrating. It penetrates the whole understanding. The phenomenal world become very clear to the individual that went through this manifestation. Very good. 很好。
因为之前 Radio 所讲的什么 awakening insight 全部其实我都听不懂，因为因为我只知道我只是要把我自己的烦恼啊，所谓的烦恼
能够解决，
对，解决就好了。可是当我 go through 这个 experience 之后，我就 text 阿颂，我讲阿颂， 这个我好像开始明白什么是 inside knowledge 了，你
对，
know，
答对，嗯。
他就是明白啊，不然就他
对
就是
对
知
对，the
道
nature
哦，
awaken，
对，他就是明
that's
白，
why they use the word 觉悟，悟到了，觉了，觉悟。It certainly that nature beyond words, just understand. Then after that, everything becomes clear. That's why I said no need to remember. It's not a memory. It's awakening on the nature. That as long as this form of mind that goes through it continue to exist, the understanding is already with your nature connected. That's why that form of mind will forever have that understanding. But it will only continue for this segmented life. Means after this form of mind gone, that thing is gone. But your spiritual nature that has the embodiment of this cultivation and understanding will have it. It will be stored there, like your karmic nature. It will be there. Then in future, you need to connect whenever you come to that our true mind or the gateway. Then from there, when you connect, you start to inherit back again. Then it will come back to you. Then all this understanding will surface again. Then as you go through that transformation, you will come to realize, hey, how come like that? A lot of these things that I understand now, I never learned this life. How come I can have all this understanding? That's why my nature, after I inherited the thing in the year 1989, then I realized a lot of things that I came to understand, I never learned this life. Even the so-called teacher or guide that I met, they teach me different things. They teach me only the condition behind the understanding for me to connect back so that I can inherit. Then from there, my nature become different again. Then when I go back to the level my nature has already developed the understanding, that's why with that understanding, this segmented form of mind can become the, like the Buddha say, make use of it to teach the Dhamma. That's why it become like the Dhammakaya, means the Dhamma body manifest. So all this understanding that this nature has is not from this life alone. Of course, this life it did its own cultivation based on the causes and conditions that manifest. Then from there, it actually moves through very fast, like certain type of understanding that my nature has cultivated before, after it connect to the gateway. It inherit, it moves through very fast, and the understanding come back very fast. And it's like I shortcut a lot of things. I no need to do a lot of things, and all those understanding just manifest. Then this nature have that understanding. Then with that, that's why in the year 1989, I remember, I say how to teach, how to share. Nobody can understand that time. The nature was ahead of time. And what it understand or we can know is so different from what is been popularly taught and accepted by the Buddhist community at that time, by the cultivator at that time. Even now, after 30-odd years, only starts to have the causes and conditions for people to develop this type of understanding or awareness-based cultivation, leading to the real heedfulness that awaken the silent mind cultivation. These are very rare, seldom you hear people teach in this way, especially awareness-based. The understanding of that true mind, that true nature is seldom taught. There are people who choose to leave it ambiguous because they also don't have much understanding of what that thing is. Unless you connect to the gateway and do the four support, you cannot have that type of understanding. They are the same way, most of them don't have that type of understanding. At that time of understanding, you must go through the Bodhisattva way, and you must develop the cultivation until it's quite long. The perfection of it, the understanding of it, the cultivation, you have to evolve, really evolve, that nature evolve, keep on evolving. That's why the way you understand the Bodhisattva way makes a big difference. That the Bodhisattva way itself is a very expansive cultivation, and it can be approached from many, many directions. Yeah. That's why a lot take very long, very, very long. It's because based on at that time, that current understanding, most people go to the traditional old way, they actually take very long. Because the sasana is very short. Once a sasana is gone, the form and mind, I realize, without the understanding or the stability of the vow, they also get lost for a period. Then for the next sasana to appear, by then, the form and mind will have like gone around, don't know how long, maybe eons. Then when you hit the next sasana, because you were born during the sasana and you had the merit, then you all can take birth and manifest. Then you have the condition to learn all this. But then that segmented life doesn't have much, I should say, the period is very limited. You don't have many of this segmented life that have the condition to arise during the sasana. Then when you arrive, because you don't have the vow, the understanding or anything, and most of them, they, although born as human being, had the condition, the listener, the mind, they also got karmic obstruction. That's why it's very difficult to meet up with the true Dhamma. Very difficult to connect and receive the true teaching. That's why in the opening verse of the Mahayana Sutta, you have that opening statement. It's very rare, this type of teaching. And even let's say you connect back, that segmented life, how long is your lifespan? And most of you all came by quite late, although my nature was lucky. Well, I started when I was very young. I started to see a lot of things, I understood a lot of things. And at the age of 17, I remember, 1971, my mind started to grow. That it started to inquire. That's how it starts, the search, the journey, and all this thing. Then this nature, because of his past and his understanding, all this understanding come back very fast. Then at the age of 35, that's why 1954 I was born. Then 1989, 35 years later, everything fall into place. In fact, it started the full cultivation in 86 when Kuan Yin's nature came and gave the message. Then it moved. Then within 3 years, everything come back. But for others, even among Kayamita, you all can check. I think most of you all, you may, some of them, encounter the Dhamma early, but most of them never meet the true teaching, the true Dhamma, and develop the true understanding. Then most of you all have your mix of karma. You are exposed to various types of teaching. Then by the time you meet the real one, not everybody can understand. But of course, those with good roots and condition who persevere and stay on, develop the understanding. Then they rejoice. That's why my purpose is to teach this awareness-based meditation, the penetrative understanding, so that you can understand the Buddha Dharma in a very, very different way. Then after that, to teach the Bodhisattva way, the yellow card, you must develop that understanding and vow, invoke power of merits for causes and conditions to have this understanding and right view, life after life, whenever you arise, whether sasana or no sasana, whether you choose to come or you have to come, you must develop it until it becomes a part of your nature. means you must develop that very, very strong faith, the sattva, the virya, then the spiritual zeal and tenacity to go this way and to invoke power of merits or causes and conditions to have this type of understanding and to continue this cultivation. Then only the way can be established so that all your future coming is taken care of. And even the sasana gone, your form and mind that come will have this right view and right understanding. But you have developed the vow, you have developed the aspiration, you have invoked power merit for causes and conditions for you to have this understanding night after night. So it will surface. That's why my nature, when I come, I already have those understanding and I like automatically know how to filter one. Even though I was also exposed to all this type of various type of teaching. But my nature cannot like go and listen or believe all those things because it know how to screen, it know how to filter. It's like you know it's not the one you are looking for. And it's not the penetrative one. It's not the one that is linked to that type of understanding that your nature has. So it will know. He will understand, and even not like normal people go astray or try here, try there, and get entangled. It won't. So all this shows very clearly that this law of karma, the karmic nature, karma niyama, this one is a very powerful law. You don't play a fool with karma. You have to take care of karma. Then from this karmic nature, you will have the good life, a good condition. Then you invoke power of merits for causes and conditions for all this understanding to come. Then through your wisdom, contemplate, reflect, then you choose to come. And when you have cultivated until a certain level of understanding, you can choose to come. Then you invoke power of merit for causes and conditions to come under those circumstances and conditions. And my nature know it like to come during transition period where it can see a lot of things, understand a lot of things, experience a lot of things. And this nature will condition all those that have affinity with my nature to arise. That's why most of these that have affinity with my nature, they will come on their own, even though I didn't know them, from all over the world, they will come. Then later on, this teaching will also be recorded and benefit a lot of those who will come much later. So you can see the whole spectrum of all this manifestation within the Kandiyan world. And they are so beautiful, so beautiful. So, salute to you, Alicia, for creating the condition for my nature to share all this. Because today's sharing is very beautiful and very, very important. To go back, listen to it. It will help. Okay, Alicia, you can continue.
感恩 Brett, 真的是佛法真的可以改变一个人的两讲一个人的 existence 应该是一个人的这个 existence， 因为在我还没有学习佛法和跟我现在懂得一点点达玛的分别都已经很大了，
很大，你看得到的。
对对，因为现在啊，就算人家骂我笨，骂我什么，骂我什么，
没事了，
我就没有反应了。
呀，没事了，因为。无相嘛 ，no reality 嘛，没有这样的事的，就是无名人讲无名话，因缘法就是因缘法哦。但那个相是什么东西造成的？那个相就是五蕴无名的时候造成的。So once the delusion is gone.The five aggregate of form and mind become pure aggregates. That's why it's no more a grasping aggregate. It cannot grasp anymore. It will not argue. It will not react. You will just let things be. There are conditions like that, things will be like that. You try your best. If there is no condition, just let things be. So all this become clearer and clearer. And everything only arise when there is condition for it to arise. Means unless there is affinity, don't need to manifest. That's why most of the time I say, just let things be. No need to like purposely, ayo, I must help. They are my related relative or what. They are very close to me. There is no such thing. Your nature cannot do that type of thing already, like pity people, have compassion, want to act. You know? It's no more, because who is doing? Unless there is condition, there is affinity, nothing happens. There is not what people think. Wu xiang, empty nature or existence, that one is very important, very powerful. Emptiness, kong xing. So all this understanding, when it manifests, the nature within that is connected to that type of wisdom will protect the form and mind. And the form and mind cannot be gullible anymore. Like you say, even people blame you, accuse you, say all these things to you, it's nothing really. You can just accept whatever that happened and arise and just let it be. Because condition like that, things will be like that. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. And this understanding becomes clearer and clearer, more and more stable, until one day you just laugh. That's why I end up with that understanding. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Why are you going to carry all these things? No meaning. You only do your role. Play a role, and our role is what? When there is condition to share, we share. After we share, that's it, finish. Whether you agree, don't agree, accept, don't accept, benefit, don't benefit, nothing to do with this nature. This nature's duty is to share when there is condition to share. That's why it becomes very different. That's why you realize at the retreat hall, I don't have rigid policy. I don't go and say, oh, this person, you must do this, you cannot do that, you must meditate like that, you can. No, they are just the way they are. They have their own condition behind. So meditation needs understanding. If they don't understand, whatever you tell them, you fix the rule and become rigid, no use. What for? But we have to respect the way place and the temple that we go for retreat. Will they allow us to use that place, which is very conducive for our retreat? So in order to express our gratitude, our respect, we must do a decent basic thing. And really, don't take for granted all this and express our gratitude, our joy. That's why we conform. Whatever their rules is, we will have to conform. But this is their way, please. We have to be sensitive. So all those things we can agree. But on our own side, there is nothing rigid. I say depend on condition. Even the precepts, I say you want to take 5, also can. 8 also can, but of course the 5 is the minimum. But I always say your life, you decide how you want to cultivate, how you want to keep the precept is entirely your choice, because you are doing it for your own nature. You are not doing it for others. So no point become like very rigid in your approach to think. Then after I share, I just smile and laugh. I don't like become unhappy when people cannot understand me or people cannot follow. No. Then whoever who is new or different like most of the Kayamita, they will know. They will ask a lot of questions first initially, and like very confused. Then later on, most of them, like the Singapore Jia, first 1.5 day, I remember, he was asking a lot of questions. Then finally, he himself came to that understanding. Wow, the real one is different. That's why finally he came in front of me. He requests for guidance and he did what he has to do. Then I say, okay, I will teach you and share with you further if you have this type of understanding and transformation of mindset. But initially, he wants to make sure. That's why he asked a lot of questions. Then he realized all the questions he thought he cornered me, but the answer was so different. He never expect the answer to be like that. Then he realized finally, really, the way it was answered was so beautiful. Initially, what he cannot stand is, you remember the lying down meditation. He saw people snoring. That's all to say. He cannot take it. He said, what is this? This is not a retreat at all. Then people are free to do what they want. You can meditate in any way, any method, any technique, no restriction. As long as you know what is meditation, then he starts to develop those understanding. That's why things are very different. I always say, whatever that is rigid, there is no Dhamma. Where Dhamma has no rigidity. Dhamma just accord and flow. Dhamma is true. True will stand up to investigation. Where is the reality? It cannot be otherwise. What is the truth. Suchness, tatata. That's why all this understanding will be there. It will unfold. Then when the form and mind manifest with that understanding, it will teach accordingly, share accordingly. That's why we, so far, out of so many years since we started, I think 2004 to be precise, now almost 18 years already. So far so good. No controversy, nothing. People come, people go. That's it. Then those who have the condition to understand, to learn, they will learn. Otherwise, never mind. That's why I always say, you request to come and you want to find out. So you find out. I am not here to argue with you. The three conditions, read it, understand it, no right, no wrong. So this is how we share. When we respect each other, we share without having to argue about right and wrong. Then we become beautiful. Means we are sincere in our approach to sharing. Then I respect you for what you are. And likewise, hopefully you can respect me for what I am. Then I respect your cultivation, you respect my cultivation. Then if you want to learn, you can come and listen. Then you have doubt, you can ask questions. But once you ask questions and want to argue, then no point. Because this is not sharing anymore. This is trying to be right. If you try to be right, then I have to remind you, what is your purpose here? If your purpose is to argue, to challenge, then sorry, this is not the place. So we have to have this basic understanding. Therefore, my nature is very simple. Based on three conditions, my nature come out to share. And the three conditions is, I don't want to control you. The first one is no authority. I am just sharing whatever I understand. Means no authority over anybody. And second is no right, no wrong. No right, no wrong means we avoid a lot of unnecessary argument, conflict, misunderstanding. Then we just listen. The third condition is whatever that benefits us, we make use of it. We rejoice and we move on. This is what sharing is all about. So today is beautiful. Well, it brings about all these conditions for Dhamma to flow, to develop the understanding and the awakening. So like Alicia come to realize now, what is inside knowledge, she already understand it's not knowledge. Actually, the word should be insight, not knowledge. Insight means the awakening, the wisdom, the understanding. The Mandarin word is better. 觉悟，悟道，绝了，So all these are very beautiful. Okay, Alicia, you can continue. Sorry,
Actually, 很感恩 Virgil， 感恩师尊，就是佛释迦牟尼佛，还有感恩观世音菩萨，感恩
道德菩萨。
Yes, and 感恩 Brother Dio all this year, 太好讲很不辛苦的一直在教导我们。然后 actually Brother Dio， 我从我是一个完全不懂得什么是佛法的人，然后慢慢的一直听 Brother Dio 的 sharing， you know， 然后一直的 strengthen 我的 views 啊 ，until。我所谓的现在的
yeah,
you know， 所以我觉得我可以做到，所以凯拉拉他也可以做到。
Yeah. That's right. Yours is a very good example.
所以我
because you have the faith. Then 你看到自己的变化 ，your own life, your own transformation. Because you were caught in 16 years of depression.And it's a very, very long time, 16 years. Then during that time, you experience suffering, misery, sorrow, lamentation, until ulcer everything. Actually, it's like no life. Even based on people who know you that told me, especially her daddy, the Filipino who know you and Freddy for very long.He was really impressed when he saw you turn around and become so different. Then he wants to know who let you develop the understanding. And then he said he wants to get to know me. That's when I visited the Philippines, and when he came, we had some chat. He's a very good person, although Christian, but he has good heart, good understanding. And he's very open-minded.He is beautiful too. So all this are something that you can relate to realize. Like you say, you can do it. Everybody can do it. But you have your unique condition too. You have your past, your affinity. Otherwise, it cannot happen this way. Then because you went through suffering, it's easier for you to comprehend the first noble truth reality. That's why after that, you have a lot of joy, a lot of gratitude.You saw the light at the end of the tunnel. Suddenly, somebody can explain to you what happened to you and relate to life so clearly to you. Then when you start to understand what constitutes wrong thought and how it conditions your suffering and misery, then how you should apply Noble Eightfold Path to reverse all this, then you develop the training of the mind to be aware, to be mindful.Then initially you chase after Srihan for all the sharing because you start to listen with faith, with understanding and joy. Then you realize it can make a big difference to your life. Then slowly, slowly, one by one, it starts to turn things around. Then your life becomes so different after you follow the Dhamma way to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind, develop the training of the mind.Your karmic nature turn around, your life turn around. Then Freddy also can see. Then the business, everything turn around, things turn around. And a lot of things happen. That's why through this, you develop the joy, the faith, and the sincerity to continuously cultivate. And this is not easy, actually. But because you have that very strong faith and very strong, sincere mind, because you realize this is very important. Then you have affinity with some of the great beings, especially Kuan Yin, and also Di Sang Wang Fu Sa, then all the other great beings, even Amitabha, and all those that have affinity. That's why they are chanting and all those sutta and the teaching, it can actually manifest at your heart area, which means you have affinity. Otherwise, it cannot, it won't. Then the way you can pick up all this is because you know Mandarin. You know Mandarin, it helps a lot. So now you can see all this. All this become clearer and clearer and clearer. That's why the whole lot of cultivation, especially the Bodhisattva way, is very wonderful. That's why Zhen Kong Miao Yu. That's why it's Miao Fa, wonderful Dhamma. Lian Hua Jing. So wonderful Dhamma is really wonderful, and life can really be wonderful. Everything is so wonderful. Jiang Bu Wan. So a lot of very beautiful sharing. So sadhu, very good.
Sadhu brother Jiu.
Sadhu brother.
真的，今天早上我去扫墓的时候，
清明啊，
对，然后因为我的孩子 pick up 一个树枝，然后来、来。他们就烧那个，然后拿来就把那个弄那个什么的时候，然后他就丢在地上，然后我就 pick it up， 就 pick it up， because 他在好像阻碍别人走路嘛，然后我就 pick it up， 然后很奇怪，当我走着走着拿着那个棍的时候，因为他的 tip 好像一个怎样的，上面有一些 branches 的，但我一直走的时候哦，忽然间我想到地藏王菩萨的伟大的愿，就是他跟着那个西藏一直走一直走，就撑开地狱的门去救度众生。
对，
我说哎呦，
哇 ，so beautiful，
我是哎呦，整个人哎呦 ，so rejoicing， and then really no， 哇 ，I was like。真的是 Radio 讲真的，因为最近我他要给我 develop 很多 understanding，
yeah,
我的
manifest,
对一直 manifest， 真的好像 Radio 讲的讲都讲不完，
对，就 yeah. That's why Dharma is everywhere, different stages, you encounter different type of happening, and all this is part of the way. That's why.The Mandarin word is very good. One wu, the mind right dhamma. That one is very beautiful.
Brother Jiu, we 今天是 Sunday， 我不知道 Missy 有什么要分享没有， 所以我想留下余下的时间给 Missy。
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
感恩 Brother Jiu， 感恩大家，感恩阿弥陀。
Amitabha Sadhu, let us rejoice with the sharing by Alicia first. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Now Miss Lee, I get you. Are you there?
Yeah, Rajya, good afternoon. And Mrs. Pugh also. Ma Sadhu to Alicia, very good sharing. Rejoicing and listening to her.Actually, that the way that she insight into the phenomenal is very well explained. Yes, it's and it's not easy for her to come to this stage.
You
need a lot of
faith and
So, Brajie, also thanks a lot for your guidance for previous Sunday. For pointing out that there's a consciousness in the meditations. And now the mind become more alert on top of the awareness. So in this one, when you have that alertness, it seems that you can see that normally last time we aware be aware of the phenomena. But now is that there is an awareness, the awareness seems to move together with the phenomena.
That is the initial stage. During that time, you just let it be. That's why the specific phenomenal awareness, you just let it be. Let it develop until very stable.
Yes. Now the daily mindfulness, last time still got a little bit of like a chattering mind, but now seems to be really, what do you call that? Hardly any
it's become like very quiet, very quiet.
So that's why I just came back from Penang. During the whole journey, there is hardly any of you can actually stay at that moment and you just flow with it less tired, and there's a lot
of course. And you can
together.
You can use that mind to rest, actually, recuperate.
Right.
It's very beautiful. Then you can just silently aware and rest your body.
And with that, I find that even in the meditation is a very interesting exploring. That meditative that you don't have a desire to actually want what type of mind state?
Very important. If there is still a mind that wants this type of mind state,
you don't have that type of mind. It just flow with the
I always say don't try to know.
Correct.
Don't try to know. Just let things be and just silent. Stabilize it. Otherwise, that mundane mind will come back through the back door somehow without you knowing it. And you think that is Dhamma, but that is actually the subtle conscious mind that still manifests. So don't try to know, and don't try to develop the knowledge of it. But after you have really stabilized the mindfulness and the awareness, then the wisdom and the understanding slowly, then something will manifest. Then when it manifests out of the meditation, like Alicia, then only you reflect, you contemplate, then the understanding will suddenly awaken. Yeah. That is how it's supposed to be. But a lot of people are too keen to know. That's why during the meditation, that subtle conscious mind is still lingering behind. Is this what Brother Teo say? Is this what the thing supposed to be? Then is this how the mind supposed to transform? Is this what stability of sati is? Then you get more interested in the knowledge, in the words. Then, Alicia earlier mentioned, you have that conditioning that arise without you knowing it, that you are looking for things, for experience, for mind state, for transformation. That one is still the conscious mind behind. So when you meditate, don't try to know. Don't try to do even anything. Just let the awareness nature stabilize. Then let the daily mindfulness stabilize. And the understanding, I repeat, the understanding will come by itself. No need to look for it.
No.
That nature will see all this subtle manifestation of the conscious mind, the egoic mind. Then one day it will have the understanding. Hey, how come suddenly that nature become like that? Like Alicia went through. It's just witnessing. No word, nothing. Then that thing just suddenly trigger the awakening. But you need condition, all this need condition. It cannot just happen by itself. There are affinity, also same condition. That's why we must cultivate affinity with great being. Request their blessing, protection, and guidance. So all this will help. Then your faith has to be very strong. Saddha, Virya, very strong, very stable, then diligently cultivate. Just do the religious routine, everything, meditate, silent, until that thing becomes very stable. Then from there, something will happen. The condition will manifest. Then you will go through that transformation. Then your nature will have joy and understanding. It's just like how you actually went through the initial stage. Initial stage, you were trapped at the knowledge, at the conditioning. That's why you always like want to explain in such a way, like thinking you know, but that is still knowledge. That's why I always say at that time, it's still the thought, it's still, until later on, when you know what sati is, then you become different. And then when you become different and when you share and report, that time I rejoice. That's why I say sadhu to you. And it's good that you have developed the understanding and transformation, but you are now at the stage where the subtle conscious mind is still at the back, moving. It's not really gone, it's still there. But continue to be patient, silent, don't try to know, just do. Always remember this word, don't try to know, just allow the meditation to be. Then the other one is, don't try to do anything. Don't try to know and don't try to do anything. The second one is more difficult. Now, don't try to do anything is actually deeper than don't try to know. Don't try to know means don't arise a thought unnecessarily. Don't go and do all those whatever so-called wanting to know in the name of reflection and contemplation and trying to link the mind. Obviously. So that part is more easy. I think don't try to know, you have actually progressed.
Roberto, because I see sometimes these habitual tendencies.
You will come back.
You will come back because you know why? Because like for instance, we do chanting lessons Mata, right?
Correct.
So we are actually initially our practice is more on concentration.
Correct.
So you see now, even though I have awareness, all right, but it's quite easier for me to detect during my daily mindfulness. That one is faster.
Right. Yes.
But when I go for my meditation,
the habitual doing come back.
It will come back. But luckily, because through listening to your teachings or that, have more alert towards it.
You are more aware that you should relax into it. Don't continue with that chanting.
So when I come to
the chanting want to arise, you listen, the chanting want to arise, let it arise, but use the awareness to be with it. Understand? Huh?
Yeah.
Don't go and chant anymore.
Correct. Because nowadays
it's the doing already. You have to reach the stage where the chanting arises by itself, then the awareness is with the chanting.
Yeah.
It's the true art. Once you reach that, you will progress, you will break free. That's why don't try to know, I think you can. That the habitual tendency of doing is the one that is still trapping you, the subtle conscious mind. So this don't try to do, that one you need to develop more and more understanding. That's why the first part, you have already developed very good stability. Don't try to know. I think that one you know. You are not trapped in the olden way already. But don't try to do that one, very difficult. Because a lot of people still have a habitual tendency of what meditation is. They must do something in order to meditate. Don't try to do is the difficult one. Because who is doing? The thought is doing. The thought creates activity, movement. That's why I say the subtle conscious mind behind is still wanting to do. Although it has loses that ability to wanting to know. Wanting to know that one can break free. Quite a lot of people can break free. But then after they don't want to know, they cannot like don't want to do, because to them the conditioning from the habitual tendency of meditation is I am not meditating if I'm not doing anything. But the real awareness-based meditation is to be aware and don't do anything.
Yes.
Awareness has to be, like you came to know, specific phenomenal awareness. Means whatever awareness that arises, you have to maintain the stability until it's very stable. Then the phenomenal that move, your awareness is revealed. The chanting that arises, your awareness is revealed. Ah, do that. That is the second phase. When you are with a specific phenomenal awareness, you are not doing anything. But the awareness and the phenomenal move as one. That one will stabilize your silent mind. That one will let you transform and penetrate to understand what is. Don't try to do. Don't try to know is relatively easy. We have no more thought, no more like curious mind, no more of this so-called inquiry or what during meditation. Yes. Then you can actually stop all the trying to know. But don't try to do, that one is the difficult one. That's why that one needs stability of mindfulness to do the specific phenomenal awareness until that nature stabilizes. Then suddenly, because you do the specific phenomenal awareness, you can be mindful throughout the day until very stable. Then you realize that mindfulness becomes so refined, it can see the movement of the subtle conscious mind behind. That wants to know the subtle intention, the subtle movement, the very subtle one. That one needs mindfulness at the level of refinement, which is very much higher than normal mindfulness. That one, your mind and the phenomena has to be completely silent and aware. Like you say, you know there is still some chattering. Or some what they call mundane activity behind the mindfulness. That is not a completely silent. That one is good. You can be aware of that. Then just do. Don't try to know. Just do until that thing becomes very stable. Until the awareness and the phenomena move as one. Everything is like it means the mind has entered city. Then you become very different throughout the day. Your daily mindfulness is like you are throughout the day aware, mindful. Then you keep on seeing phenomena. Means the awareness and the phenomena move as one. It is no more like normal human mind that is latching onto thing anymore. It's no more the conscious mind, conscious, aware, and think. Cannot really.
Yes.
Aware. Then when you want to understand, when you want to reflect, contemplate, when you need to live life, you need to arise, then only you arise. And that is the stage of stability that you need. Then most of the time you are silent, quiet, with specific phenomenal awareness. That is like that nature is aware and just that whole thing just move on its own. That's why my nature can see all the movement and the activity, but this one is still inside that nature. But that one, most people cannot do until their mundane mind collapses. So for you all, the mundane mind hasn't collapsed. It's actually easier to do the daily mindfulness, I realize. But at that time, my daily mindfulness was so stable. Then later on, the mundane mind collapsed. I like no mind. You know. completely no mind, then nothing to be aware because that gross mundane consciousness collapses. Then the super mundane, which is very fine, or that one even more difficult to be aware. But then I realized no need to do already. Because during that time, that nature shines forth. Throughout the day, 24 hours, my nature is with me. Because I don't have the mundane mind. Aggregate, aggressive, aggregate, to cloud my nature anymore. No more. The feeling aggregate is pure feeling because of the wisdom. Then the perception is pure perception. It cannot be from the conditioning, from the brain, the memory, the views, opinion, no more. The belief system, all no more. it is pure aggregate. Then the thinking is pure thinking. When it need to understand, it arise. When it doesn't need to understand, it does not arise. That's why it's very different. So all this, hopefully, you listen to today's sharing again, it will help you to move beyond a stage where you are trapped in the subtle conscious activity behind your mind.
Thank you, Raja.
Yeah, sadhu. Anything else, Lee?
Not much. Still have to.
You continue to stabilize it. Yeah. And you will be able to break free.
Now is much what you call that? 自在 in the awareness lah. That means
correct. You have to move through all these phases. But you cannot really completely break free unless your daily mindfulness become very stable until your mind enters sati. Then everything is in sati. Then you realize all the movement in nature, truth is everywhere. Why can't you say all those will manifest first? Then you start to through that silent, the awareness nature, see the universal characteristic. Anicchang dukkhang anatta. Then it manifests. Keep on manifesting. It's not a knowledge where you try to know and expect it to be there. Cannot. Okay.
Thank you, Raju.
Sadhu.
And thanks all parameters.
So let us rejoice with this good sharing to her. Sadhu. Sadhu. Sadhu.